Mishnah Zayin. Rebbe Loza Ishbartusa Oimer. Rebbe Loza, the man who came from Bartusa, said, Ten loy mishaloi, sha'ata v'shalcha shaloi. A poetic expression. It says, give God what is God's, because you and all you own belong to God. I know we started early because Dr. Kunin is not in his seat yet. But anyway, he said, what you give God is God's, and because whatever you have really belongs to God. So we'll see how Reb Chaim Volozhin explains that. The simple meaning is that God gives it to you anyway, so big deal that you give it away. And everything comes from you, the Rabbi Nishalaylam, and it's for you, from your own hands that we give it back to you, so to speak. Reb Shimon Aimer. The second part of the Mishnah, Hamahalech Baderech. It's a hard Mishnah. The second half. Listen. Reb Shimon Aimer, Hamahalech Baderech V'Shayna. Somebody is traveling and learning. Umafsik miMishnasai, and he interrupts his learning. V'Aimer, and he says, Ma Noa Ilon Zeh. How beautiful is this tree? Uma Noa Nir Zeh. And how beautiful is this plowed field? My Lo Lavakasav Kilu Mischaya V'Nafshay. The Torah considers it as if he's guilty for his own life. It seems to say it's Chayav Misa. So the first part of the Mishnah, we'll see Reb Chaim Volozhin's explanation.
He's learning?
Shayna is learning Mishnayis, right? He's learning how to learn Mishnayis or Halachais. He interrupts his Mishnah, and he says, Ma'anoi Ilan Zeh, Ma'anoi Nir Zeh, he's Chayav Misa. Why is he Chayav Misa for interrupting his learning to admire a nice tree? They tell me you shouldn't interrupt his learning, I understand. But...
It's
what?
It says
Ke'ilu. Ke'ilu Mishchai. Let's say he interrupts his learning to go get a bagel. Then he's not Mishchai B'Nafshai, only if he interrupts his learning to say how beautiful is this tree? It's a very strange...
He's admiring Hashem's creation, which you would think...
And even if he's doing it for that... I don't know. I was thinking about Rabbi Victor Miller. Victor Miller, so he's Mischai ben Avshai for interrupting his learning to.
He would argue on that.
So.
It's just the opposite. You learn such brothers from this. When you admire the tree, you think about, the roots of the tree.
If you think about it, yeah, there's a potential. So then it needs explanation. It definitely needs explanation.
The expression ma'ala was very strange. Ma'ala is something good.
Ma'ala love is usually something good?
Yeah.
Okay, here that I won't be able to answer because it's hard to figure out here to turn that around.
No, I mean, it's like it's straight. I don't have any idea.
Yeah, okay.
If somebody does something like Pesachal or Yosha, and not because the Torah said so,
right. From the trees. So then. So how do you explain the Mishnah with that? See, so I don't understand. If he interrupts his learning because he wants to watch a ball game, or he wants to go to sleep, or he wants to read the newspaper, he's not Mischai ben Avshay. Only if he says, no, I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I don't know, I once heard, and I looked around, I don't know who says, I once heard from one of my rebbeim, who said the following. Now, I don't know if this is apikorsis, or if this is a pshat. He said that if someone is learning, and he's mafsik mimishnasai va'aymer ma'no ilon zeh. In other words, if he's learning, and he admires the tree, and it's a continuation of his learning, that's fine. Because he's busy learning, he's learning God's Torah, and then he's learning God's world. Right? Hashem reveals himself through Aseres HaDibrais, and through Asara Mamareis, through the Torah, and through the world. So what this Rebbe said was that the Mishnah is saying, if you're learning, umafsik mimishnah seva aimer, and now you say, all right, I'm not learning anymore. And now he says, Manoi Ilan Zeh, that's Mischai ben Avshai, because he should realize that when he looks at the tree, he should see in that a continuation of his learning, continuation of his of his being able to learn about the Rabbeinu Shalayl. I don't like that pshat.
It's not a kofar or anything. Why is there misa for that?
Because he has to understand that saying Mano Ilan says part of observing Hashem's world. As misa, opposed
even if you a misa. Don't understand, right. Then
it's okay. It's extreme either way. I agree with you. I don't know. The Pashup Pshat in the end of the Mishnah is that there are distractions. Whenever a person learns, the Yetzer Hara provides all sorts of distractions. And basically, that's the Milchama. You talk about people, and then they're supposed to be coming to learn. They're not coming. It's always a distraction. And usually, once you analyze the distraction, it's not... There was a young man who was very late to yeshiva today. So I pulled him aside. He was there, second Seder. I pulled him aside. I said, what happened? So he said, it wasn't so bad. I was really here by 11:30. I said, what? It wasn't so bad. I was here by 11:30. So actually, he told me he had a date last night. At the end of the date, they couldn't find his car in Manhattan. And they were walking around for 2 hours, and they found it. I would assume it was... So it's a little bit of an excuse, but 11:30, you know, like... somebody had to catch up his daf yomi or something, I don't know. But they're distractions, whatever it is. You know, ani rishon v'ani achron. God says, I'm first, I'm last. When it comes to cutting something out of your schedule, so you cut out God first. You know, I'm busy... You cut out God. Maybe you should cut out your sleeping. Maybe you should cut out supper. No, ani rishon. When it comes to putting it back in your schedule, ani achron, you know. God waits online, he's last. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. What? Everyone's sure God will be Michael, dear.
Abraham, when he fed the guest, he said, God can wait until he sees you.
Abraham said, God could wait. So that's how you get that God could wait, okay. Okay, at any rate, this is the end of the Mishnah. What about the beginning of the Mishnah? Beginning of the Mishnah is give God, whatever you give God, you're giving God his own, because he gave it to you. So let's see how we, that Rav Chaim Volozhiner comments on the bottom. Ten loy mishaloi, ki ha'adam b'zeh ha'aylam, ki ilu hu shal atzmai. A person in this world feels like he's in control. Hainu, ki ha'kadosh baruch hu, he niach biyadai ha'bechira. Because God gives man free will. Ach im ha'adam marbe chas v'shalom l'pshaya pesha rav, ozye yonesh oynish gadol, mekol ha'inshish nightly menu ha'bechira. Now here, Chaim Volozhiner goes out on a limb in a machlekes rishayim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardened the heart of Parai, is a machlekes, the Rambam and the Ramban, how that works. What does it mean God hardened his heart? The Ramban says it was a special arrangement because of Parai. That God doesn't harden people's hearts. In the case of Parai, since such and such, therefore the Rabban Shalom did it. The Rambam says no. The Rambam says that a person could distance himself so much from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that God takes away his Bechira. That's what the Rambam says. A person could distance himself so much from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that his heart becomes hardened and Hashem takes away his Bechira. Now that goes contrary to what we understand as a Yisayid, that if there's no Bechira, there's no reason to be in this world. The Rambam says that, Rechaim Volozhiner, look at what he says. It says, Achi ma'odam marbe chas v'sholom l'pshaya pesharav. Somebody who sins a lot. Oz ye onesh oynish gadol mekola oynshim. Then he gets the worst of all possible punishments. Shenayt l'mimenu ha'bechira. That God takes away from him his free will. V'loyach aloy glashuv k'may pari v'dugmasai. He can no longer do tshuva, as was the case with Parai and those like him. Zeh shamru, asay atshata maitza umatzi lach v'aitcha biyadach. Do while you're able. While you're able to do it. In other words, don't wait until chas v'shalom a person falls so much that he no longer has bechira. But you have to chaperayin while you have bechira. V'im lav avzeu ten loy mishaloi av sha'ato b'yad atzmacha. Even though it feels to you like you have free will. Kamakim teda shemamayincha mimenu balach. Whatever you have, your money, your assets, come from God. And know that you yourself are also in God's hands. Now, So this is an old difficulty, the Rambam Shita, that a person can come to a point where Bechira is removed.
I think we learned once that it's not that Bechira is removed, but it's that it just becomes easier and easier to do the chet. So it's not, technically it's almost like you don't have Bechira, but it's because it becomes easier for you to
You're probably referring to, there are two shtichlos Torah on this Rambam. One is in the Lev Elio, Rabbi Eliyahu Apian, and one is in the Michtam Elio, which I think you're referring to, Rabbi Eliyahu Dessler. In the Lev Eliyahu, in the introduction, it's actually not Rav Lapian, it's Rav Sholem Shvadron, who published it, has a footnote explaining the Rambam, that even though God takes away Bechira, that's a punishment. And just like davening could remove any punishment, someone has any punishment in the Olamazah, davening could remove it. So it's the same thing, when God takes away Bechira, through davening, you can still remove that oinish as well. So that a person still has a way out. And that's his shtickle Torah. What Herb is referring to is the Michtam Elio. Michtam Elio has the phrase that he coined, Nekudas HaBechira, which I mentioned on a couple of occasions. Which, with this idea, he answers probably a dozen different basic difficulties in Hashkafa. The idea of Nekudas HaBechira is that in the range of Bechira, like from 0 to 100, all the possible tests a person could have in this world, every human being at any given moment is at one spot. The kuda is a dot. There's one dot that hits Nisayan. So that for most of us, there are extremes. Going into McDonald's is not a Nisayan, because it's below our Nekudas HaBechira. And yet, being able to not waste a minute is above our Nekudas HaBechira, because we can't do it. So when the Rambam says that if you sin, it's removed from your Bechira, it means there are things above your Nekudas HaBechira, that it's not possible. It's not my Bechira by Ma'ariv to have Kavan every single word. It's very hard to have Kavan every single word. So a person has a dot which fluctuates depending on his accomplishments. If you raise yourself, it moves up. If you lower yourself, it moves down. So that's how he explains this idea of a person removes Bechira by lowering the point of his test. At any rate, ten loy mishaloi, shatov shalcha shaloi. Simple pshat, when you give tzedakah, it's God's money. He gives it to you. The deep pshat is choose to do good, choose to give, because the bechira, the choice you have, whether to give or not, is also from God, and he can take it away from you if you're not deserving. The second pshat, ayomer ten loy mishaloi, he's stressing the mem, rotzalaymer mem ha-miktsas, kiyu naisen lecha ha-kayel, God gives you everything, umevakesh, and he requests from you, sh'acha miktsas takdash l'shmai, God gives you a lot, he says, give me back a little. Mikoychecha tavdenu, with your energy serve him, tiga asvecha l'toyer v'la'avayda, exhaust yourself to serve Hashem, Hagam ki toshia shema umatish ma'at kaychecha. Even though Torah is called toshia, which means it weakens a person, halekim noisin lecha kayach las Yisrael, but all your energy comes from God. Sh'at v'shcha shalai, v'yadai kayach lahimus lahachiyos, and God gives you life. V'chei mois letztaka unoisin lecha hakoel. U'behepechas v'shalom yachol lechasrecha. So if you realize that it's all given to you from God, so ten loy mishaloi, you're just giving you back a small amount. Gam be'es nisinoscha heima biyadai. Ozemer mecha hakom yachad nasan lach gam b'shas nisina heim biyadcha. I once heard from Shmuel Birnbaum, he said this in such a nice way. So let's say I go over to you, and I say, I'll make a deal with you. If you give me $1 million, I'll give you $100,000. Good deal? You say, I'm a fool, what kind of deal am I telling you? You give me $1 million, I'll give you $100,000. Make any sense? He says, the pasuk chumish. Yaakov Avinu says, God, I'm penniless. He was on his way to Lom. He says, Hashem, if you give me money, so aser tas, I'll give you 10%, or maybe it means 20%. He says, what kind of deal is that? He says, God, give me money, I'll give you back 10%. It's not a deal. What kind of
money doesn't mean anything to God. It's just
but the words don't make sense. I tell you, give me money, I'll give you back 10%. What, give me back 10%? You can ask God for money. Say, God, what are you going to do with the money anyway? God's going to go shopping. So give it to me. But to say, give it to me and I'll give you back 10%. So Shmuel Birnbaum's point was that we live in a world of curtains. We don't see it that way. And even if you say, God, give me $1 million, I'll give you 100,000. Very hard to give the 100,000 once you got the million. Like before you won the lottery, you could promise all your friends, whatever. If I win, you get this and that. And you really mean it. The guy means it. I won the lottery tonight. Herbie, you get half of it, okay? Easy. I tell the boys in yeshiva sometimes that someone in this room someday will be a millionaire. So your second million, give me. Who agrees? They're all willing to agree. Second million, I don't mean give me, I'll give it out to the stock, alright? Give me a second million. They're all willing. But when it comes to it, you can't do it. He said, Yaakov Avinu said, give me a million, I'll give you 100,000. That's tough. Because once God gives you a million, it's hard to give back the 100,000. That was his point.